Dedicated to quality and service, Western Company of Texas has earned the reputation as the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible and can meet your water transfer needs anyplace, anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Western Company of Texas has a proven track record and has successfully completed thousands of water transfer jobs and can meet those last-minute deadlines. So if you're looking to transport water to your next completion job, then think Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps. They cover all the Barnett Shale with locations in Cleburne, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Western Company of Texas has a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available and ready to meet all your water transfer needs. Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps, committed to precision, performance, and competitive pricing. Excellence is not expensive, it's priceless. Call Western Company of Texas and the guys at the Green Pumps. They are the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Call 682-831-9300, 682-831-9300, or go to their website at wct.us.com.
Elissa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And before we get underway with our first guest, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And join us online and send some emails in. We love hearing from all of our listening audience and our fans at info@eradiosports.com. Well, I tell you what, it is a big weekend in Lincoln, Nebraska for the Huskers. They are hosting the Texas Longhorns. And Nebraska is a team right now playing with so much confidence. You know, they're coming off that very impressive road win in Manhattan at Kansas State, 48-13. And, you know, when you talk about Texas, this is a team, you know, they're looking to get back on track after losing two straight. And fortunately, you know, how their schedule played out, they have a well-placed bye last weekend. So Mac Brown has had the opportunity to really zero in on his team and have a heart-to-heart conversation. The guy that's going to be joining us, our first guest on the Big E Sports Show this weekend, and of course is joining us on our sponsor, the Western Company of Texas phone line, it's Steve Habel with Horns Illustrated. Steve, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. Welcome back. And are you still kind of licking your wounds after that Texas OU, the big Red River rivalry? I know that had to been tough on you.
Well, it's just more, by the way, thanks for having me back. And it's more just the fact to see Texas not play well, and it's what hurts, than to think about who's beaten them so far. So we'd like to see Texas come back and play like the Texas teams we've seen in the past couple of years.
Well, we're not going to take time to recap Oklahoma, the Texas big play, but we do want to talk about, you know, who would have ever imagined coming into the 2010 season that, you know, Texas is a team that, like I said, they're reeling right now. They've lost two straight. I mean, they have the potential, you know, this weekend, I mean, they could lose on the road to Lincoln. That hasn't happened since 1999. What is going on right now with the Texas Longhorns? This is unprecedented for them to not even be in the top 25.
Well, it's been 163 weeks, Alyssa, since the last time they're out of the top 25. You know, we talked early in the year, I mean, before the season started, how this was going to be a transition year for Texas. And it has been in many ways. The fact that they're young, they're inexperienced in a lot of places, the offensive line has not played up to par. And to their credit, or however you want to say it, to their benefit or their defense, you know, they've been asked to do a lot of different things in a short time. You know, they started the season thinking about being a run-first team, a downhill running team, something they haven't done for years, weren't really recruited to do. And now they've kind of switched in mid-tack. I mean, they're going back to a passing game. You know, Greg Davis, the offensive coordinator for Texas, has said, well, we're just going to do whatever it takes to win. The last 2 weeks, that hasn't been too successful, but you know, Texas has got a huge test in Lincoln against Nebraska. Nebraska, like you said, is full of confidence. Texas is not. It's a make-or-break game for the season for the Horns.
Steve Habel is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is the contributing writer with Horns Illustrated. If you are a Texas Longhorn fan, you definitely want to pick up a subscription of that. Does a great job. Steve, you had just talked about some of the woes for Texas. Their offensive line has really struggled providing protection for Garrett Gilbert, and they just need to do a much better job. But what is Greg Davis sharing with these guys so that they will step it up and be able to provide that protection?
Execution than anything else, Alyssa. They just, you know, they've had some really untimely penalties on the offensive line that's cost the Horns. They've had, you know, just ineffective play against some defensive linemen that have been bigger and stronger than them, and that's something we're not used to seeing on the 40 acres. Texas will be fine. You know, they refuse to say that they're in a rebuilding mode. That word is not really used around Austin very much, but they do have a lot of things that need to be done better. There's no doubt about it, and they're trying. I mean, I think they'll be fine. It'll be an interesting game in Nebraska if Texas comes out and really hits Nebraska hard. I don't know how hard they've been hit by anybody this year and played hard. They play hard against the Huskers. It may be a game that turns the tide for the Horns and really opens up the Big 12 race for a bunch of teams.
Talk about playing hard, playing with intensity. That is really something that Mac Brown is going to try to relay to his guys, that they really do need to step it up in terms of that category in intangible.
Yeah, it's something that's it's a trait of Texas teams under Mac Brown, and especially under Will Muschamp, the defensive coordinator. We've been kind of disappointed in the efforts of the defense the last couple of weeks by Texas against UCLA. They really had a hard time stopping the run, which is something that Will Muschamp coach teams has been very successful with even before he came to Texas. And then against Oklahoma, they just looked like they were unprepared at the first of the game. They were out of sync. Oklahoma's up-tempo offense caught them off guard. And a bunch of times, there were times in the first half where the four Texas defensive linemen were standing there with their hands on their hips when they snapped the ball. They weren't down in a three-point stance. They weren't ready to move. Something that we're not used to seeing, obviously. I think the intensity will be pretty high in Lincoln. I know the people in Nebraska are pretty anxious to get a piece of Texas after what happened last year in the Big 12 championship game. And, you know, it's going to be a wild scene. And Texas is really and truthfully going to have to play their best game of the year to even compete up there.
Steve Habel along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into our radio interview without taking time to recognize our premier corporate sponsor. That is our friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. You can go to their website at wct.us.com. Steve Habel, you're breaking it all down for us, talking about the intensity and how the Texas really needs to dial it up as they are in Lincoln, Nebraska. But also, hasn't there been some shifting around as far as some of the starters and Mac Brown? He's kind of been playing with some things to find out who is going to emerge in some of the positions.
Well, Alyssa, he's had they've had a kind of a revolving door at running back for years, and they really don't have anybody there that they're really happy with. Still, DJ Monroe has had the big run against
Oklahoma.
And you know, he played well the week before against UCLA. He's averaging about 18 yards every time he touches the ball, Alyssa, so they've got to find a way to get the ball in his hands more. The problem is that he's a little fella. I mean, he's 5'7 and about 175 pounds, and he just can't take a lot of beating. On the opposite end of the spectrum, at the end of the game the other day, or last week against Oklahoma, you know, Cody Johnson came in, and he's, you know, 255 pounds and can move the pile and actually made some great catches out of the backfield. You know, you still got Fozzie Whitaker in the mix. He's a very quick-footed running back, but he doesn't seem to really turn a lot of heads in the Texas locker room. I mean, it just doesn't seem like he's the it back that Texas has been looking for. At the same time, at wide receiver, they've had some fairly disappointing efforts from the whole group. Kirkendall, who is one of their leading receivers, has had some good games, but he's had a lot of drops. John Childs is the same. He has not really made a big impact this year. Malcolm Williams has made some plays, but for a while, he was not even starting. And Marquise Goodwin, the other big receiver from last year, has been up and down, not because he's not playing well, he just hasn't had a lot of opportunities. Anybody in the receiving corps has been a real go-to back. It's been the freshman, Mike Davis, and he had to sit out the OU game with an injury, so that obviously hurt the Horns a lot.
Well, that was a great question, because I want to talk about, as far as the receiver, Mike Davis, as you had said, he had to sit out. What about tailback Trey Newton? He was held out of the Oklahoma game too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He has a hip pointer. He should be back and available for Nebraska. They didn't really put him in the last couple of games. Hopefully, though, he'll be back at 100% for the Huskers.
Well, and, you know, that was one of the offensive battles coming into the season. You know, everyone had really circled Trey Newton. They were expecting big things out of him. Fozzie Whitaker, as you had just said, you know, he's smart. He plays elusive and really plays bigger than he looks. But has DJ Moore, the gentleman that you were just talking about, has he kind of been the biggest surprise for Texas? I mean, you had said and highlighted that 60-yard run touchdown against Oklahoma. He's got breakaway speed.
Yeah, DJ Monroe, he's a good little back. Like I said, he's shifty, and he can really turn it on when he gets around the corner. The problem is that he hasn't really worked a lot at running back since he's been in Austin. He was a running back in high school, but he is still learning the playbook from when he was a wide receiver. And so he admitted it after the OU game last week that, you know, he was still not in sync with what all the things that they wanted to do in the running game. The coaches know that. You know, they're not going to have him in there a bunch if he doesn't know what the plays are running. And, you know, to be quite honest, when Monroe's in the game, teams figure that he's going to get the ball about 85% of the time if he's in the backfield. So they're pretty easy to key on him. And he was able to overcome that the other day with the reverse run, you know, against Oklahoma. But he's got to do more. He's got to be able to give him a chance to do more. And then the other guys have to do their job as well.
Steve Habel with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We got a lot of Longhorn fans that listen to our program. They're like, we want to find out what is going on with Texas. Why are they struggling, you know, experiencing their first back-to-back losses in 3 years? And it really seems like this is a team that's retreated into like a silence mode. I know that they've had the luxury of some extra time to prepare for Nebraska, a team that is playing so well. But what has been that point of emphasis? I mean, as I understand, I was going online and checking some stuff out. Mac Brown, I mean, he really had a chance to, you know, not be so hard on his players, but really encourage that they are doing positive things, but they've got to play with more consistency throughout the game.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, that's the one thing that Coach Brown and his assistants have really emphasized over the years is consistency. And if he doesn't see that, then you're probably not going to play for Texas. Plenty of guys behind you that are talented and want an opportunity. And the one thing that has really hurt Texas more than anything this year is the consistency. I mean, even from games such as the Texas Tech game where Texas dominated early and then kind of had a lull in the middle and came back in the third quarter to really win the game, third and fourth quarter with a 22-play drive that really stifled Tech and the defense took over. You know, even the normally reliable defense by Muschamp has been inconsistent at times. You've got guys missing tackles, missing assignments. And, you know, we've got another 7 games here in the season left to go in the regular season. And obviously there's strides that need to be made, and we expect that to happen in Austin.
Well, Coach Mac Brown, I mean, he's been at the University of Texas for 13 years, a proven winner. What did you think when we started hearing some of the rumor mills saying that Mac Brown could be forced out at the end of the season? I don't care what team that, you know, you're cheering for every week. I mean, it's pretty disgusting when you start hearing things like this. I mean, this guy has an incredible resume. Let's not forget that we're in that national championship game last year against Alabama and, of course, won it in 2005, led by Vince Young.
Yeah, Mac is not going anywhere unless he wants to go somewhere. There's no doubt about that. He's, people forget just because he's lost a couple games the past couple weeks that those are half of the games he's lost since 2007. And that's a pretty incredible record, 4 losses since 2007. So he's not going anywhere, Alyssa. And he'll find a way to get this, get things going well in Austin. And if he doesn't, then he'll find some assistants that can help him do that. And some players that can do it. I mean, that's one thing that Mac Brown has always been known for, is getting the players that can play for him and making sure that they do their best.
Steve Habel along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. I almost am a little hesitant to ask this question, but I'm going to throw this out there. You can take it any direction you want. Was this team, I mean, were they just truly overrated coming into the season? They had lost so many key players, especially defensively.
Well, they still have plenty of great players on defense. It's just a matter of that.
I mean, they lost 4 starters to the NFL draft, right?
Yeah, and a couple of those guys are starting right now. It's a hard transition. You know, I think that we were really surprised at how UCLA came in here and played against Texas based on the fact that they had played so poorly a couple of weeks before, especially against Stanford. And we're lucky to beat Houston, even though Houston had Case Keenum go down in the middle of the game, and then their backup quarterback also go down. But UCLA looked good, and they were well coached, and I think that caught Texas a little by surprise. And you know, against Oklahoma, Texas makes a few plays that they would characteristically make for a Texas team, and they have a chance to win the game at the end. It's been frustrating for everyone involved, who covers the team, who follows the team, who's a fan of the team, and obviously for the guys who coach and play for the team. It's been a source of frustration.
Well, and you know, of course, having a very young quarterback, you had used the word transition, and I do remember that conversation at the start of the year. And Mac Brown really downplayed that. He didn't want being tabbed or labeled saying that this was a team that was going to be in transition. But you and I had said that and predicted this. But Garrett Gilbert, 6'4", he's got a strong arm. I personally think he has flashed just some wonderful potential and is a terrific playmaker. But we use the operative word, consistency. That just comes with time. Do you think it's all the offensive line's fault, or what can Garrett do a little bit differently in terms of his execution?
Well, I'm sure that Coach Brown will tell you the same answer that I'm telling you here, Alyssa, and that is that the offensive unit has to work as a whole. When they're not getting blocking, they're not getting good receiver play, and they're not running the proper routes, they're not. And Gilbert, to be quite honest with you, he's young. He's pretty well untested coming into the season, and he's much more likely to check off and go to the third receiver out of the backfield than stand in the pocket and take a hit right now. He's not really trusting of the offensive line, and that's for good reason. First two games, Texas dominated, didn't have any sacks against them, but they were against teams that weren't as good as they were up front. These last couple games, Tech and UCLA, and now Oklahoma, it's a different story. You've got really first-class, world-class athletes on that, playing in the defensive line. So Gilbert has to adjust. I mean, he'll grow. He'll grow when he stands in the pocket, and he's done that on occasion. It's just a matter of being a little more trusting of the guys around him.
And, of course, his father was a former NFL player. Can you tell us about that? I mean, he's going to get some good sage advice from Dad, right?
Oh, I think he's getting advice from about 25 million Texans right now about how he's supposed to play quarterback.
Yeah, but you got to be careful and, tune that out, because it can be so critical, especially with such a young, fresh team.
He's really a really even-headed kid, very mild-mannered, very soft-spoken. He's been known to say, as we say as reporters covering him, that Gilbert is a kid who, if he could answer a question in two questions, he answers it in two sentences, he could answer it in one. He's very short and to the point. That's kind of the way this team is as a whole. They're pretty unflashy and pretty white bread is what we like to call them. Pretty conservative. And, that's okay, too. It's a different personality than what we saw with the Sergio Kendall, Lamar Houston, Earl Thomas type from last year, and Colt McCoy, who is such always a quotable kid and was so personable. So I think that has a lot to do with what's going on in the field. I mean, the more you get confidence in what you're doing, the more you get confidence in the people around you, the more outgoing you are to the people who are covering you and everybody else. So I'm sure we'll see a little bit of change in that, but it's an interesting transition what we're having here in Austin.
Okay, so who is the backup? Case McCoy is the backup for Garrett?
Yeah, Case has been in one game. He had about six or seven plays against Rice at the end. He's a stopgap measure in case something happens to Gilbert. And, to be quite honest with you, they're praying that something doesn't happen to Gilbert, because I don't know if Case is ready to go yet. They would really have to limit things with him even more than what they're doing with Gilbert. The running game from the quarterback was such a big key the last 4 years with McCoy, and before that with Vince, of course. And they would love to be able to have Gilbert get out of the pocket and scramble more, but I think they're scared to death of the fact that if he goes down, then they have to go to an unproven kid. He's literally a true freshman, been on campus just from last spring, and it's a pretty heady thing. Even if your dad is, a McCoy, and you're a McCoy, and you're in next in that line, it's a pretty big deal to be the University of Texas quarterback.
Okay, the other bullet point that we have to talk about when you talk about the Texas Longhorns is special teams. Unfortunately, this has not been a highlight for Mac Brown.
Well, there's been a lot of opportunities for the special teams. The plays that stand out have been in the punt return game, where Curtis Brown a couple of weeks ago against UCLA tried to field a punt inside his own 10, muffed it and dropped it inside the 5, which gave UCLA a short field for a touchdown, and Texas really never turned the tide back after that. Last game against Oklahoma, when Texas had a chance with about a minute left and we're going to get the ball back around midfield, Aaron Williams, who's a great quarterback and made some fantastic plays, he actually shut down Burroughs pretty well in one-on-one play, which is hard to do, just absolutely dropped the punt that he put a fair catch sign up, and the ball was spinning, and he didn't take advantage of it, and he dropped it. And it tore the kid up to have that happen. But, you know, that's a big part of the game is solid special teams. What I have really been noticing from this team is, and what bothers me about the special teams more than anything, is they let so many balls bounce that are kicked by the punter. You know, we were always taught as football players and as reporters that are watching the game that those guys have to go up and catch that ball. They got to find a way to get that ball before it hits the ground, because otherwise then that ball can roll and roll and roll, and that's happened a lot. With the new rugby-style punting, that makes it a little more difficult sometimes, but they still, they see that in practice. They got to be aggressive. They got to go get that ball when it hits the ground. You know, they got to be making the right decisions about getting up there on it. And that's something that I have really caught and really talked about. It really is something that's it's a pet peeve of mine about the team.
We are talking Big 12 football, zeroing in on the Texas Longhorns, but we are getting you ready for the big game. That is, Texas is traveled all the way up to Lincoln, Nebraska. And, of course, Bo Pelini, his boys, those Huskers, they are playing. I mean, you got to give them credit. They are just playing so well right now, undefeated, and certainly have made quite a statement in their final season in the Big 12 Conference. Your impressions so far, Steve?
Well, I've watched Nebraska a couple times. I think Nebraska is very good defensively. We all knew that was going to happen. The surprise of the team, of course, has been their young freshman quarterback, Taylor Martinez. He looked like a world beater the other night against Kansas State last week when he played, and you know, 240-some-odd yards rushing. Throws the ball. He's kind of got a shot-put throwing motion, but it seems to work for him just fine for what Nebraska wants to do. You know, I think the real key to Texas beating Nebraska, or even staying with Nebraska the way they're playing right now, is to, somebody has to really hit Taylor Martinez in the mouth, as coaches like to say. I mean, he's had some hits, but you know, they really have to make sure that whenever he comes across that line with the ball, that he knows that it's not going to be a pretty thing. And I'm sure that Coach Muschamp has been coaching that these past 2 weeks as they get ready for Nebraska. You know, there, like we said earlier, there's no love lost between these two teams, and Nebraska would love to beat Texas on their home turf. I mean, it's a big weekend in Lincoln. They're having their red out celebration, world red out celebration this year for the game this weekend. And you know, tickets are as hard to come by as they've ever been. You know, they've had sell out there for every game since 1962. So.
And you're flying into the game. We're driving up, and I'm a little nervous having a Texas license plate being in Lincoln, Nebraska with my car.
Yeah, you might want to carry an extra gas tank with you in just case they don't want to sell it to you like in the old days when they didn't sell us the gas when we were going up to play in Arkansas. That was always a tough week. But it's going to be an interesting week. I mean, I think that I said before that if Texas doesn't come out with a newfound intensity and a newfound style of execution in this game and really play Texas football against Nebraska, and, you know, there's a very good chance that the Horns come back to Austin 3-3. I mean, literally out of the conference race, out of the top 25. I mean, it will be very, very interesting to see what happens if that happens when Texas plays next week against Iowa State. How many fans actually show up in the stadium? I mean, will there be 85,000 fans there in the 101,000 seat stadium? It would be an interesting dynamic.
We just have a few more minutes with Steve Habel. He's the contributing writer with Horns Illustrated. We do want to take time to allow Steve to share with all the listeners that are Longhorn fans where they can go and get a copy, a subscription of that magazine.
HornsIllustrated.com, Alyssa, is the website. It's an expanding website. We're working on doing some other things on it, but that's the place to pick up, to be able to subscribe to the magazine. We also have content from the magazine on the website. You have to sign up for it, but that's real easy to do, and we'd appreciate you doing that.
Very good, and we got to take time because you are a big golf addict as well and write for several publications. Talk to us a little bit about as far as the Ryder Cup. Certainly very disappointing, but I thought they had a real surge that final day. The Americans.
Well, I was not overly displeased by the way the Americans played at the Ryder Cup. They had one really bad day over there, and it really cost them in the end. They almost came back and did the unthinkable to the Europeans on that final day in the singles competition. You know, I was really, really impressed with Ricky Fowler and the way he played the last bit. You know, I think that we've seen Mr. Woods turn the corner with his play in the Ryder Cup. Some of the shots he made in that final singles matches were pretty impressive. Feel for Hunter Mahan, I really do. The pressure of the world was on him on a couple of those shots down the stretch, and the way that Graham McDowell was playing in that match, it was going to be tough to beat him anyway. He had the whole European continent behind him, and he was riding that enthusiasm. But, you know, I think all in all, if you would have polled riders before they went over to Wales for the Ryder Cup, they would have been really happy with the 14.5 to 13.5 performance by the United States. I think that they would have, many predicted it would have been a whitewash over there. And so I think my hat has to be tipped to Corey Pavin and the job he did.
What about Phil Mickelson? Why was he having so many struggles?
Phil, you know, that doesn't really work well for Phil in the Ryder Cup. He's never really played well in the Ryder Cup. He played well in singles when he really needed to. But it's, you know, it's just a format that he doesn't seem to take to him. You know, unfortunately, there's some guys that are better in a team concept and some guys that are better in individuals, and I think that Phil is the latter.
Well, one of the guys we do have to take time to highlight, talk about the senior tour. He's one of your clients. You represent him with all of his publicity. It's Tom Kite, PGA great, of course, from McKinney, Texas. 19, PGA Tour of victories. And he, too, was a University of Texas graduate.
Yeah, Kite's a wonderful guy. He's a great golfer. You know, if you watch him play, he's playing on the Champions Tour now. He's 60, and he's still doing his thing out there. His swing is basically the same as it's ever been, and he's a very consistent golfer. We have some events here in Texas. The last two regular season events on the Champions Tour schedule will be in Texas at the end of October. First at the Administrative Classic down in Houston, and then at Oak Hills at the AT&T tournament, AT&T Championship in Oak Hills in San Antonio, which is a wonderful, wonderful venue to come watch golf.
I was going to say, you know, we were talking about the Ryder Cup, and I know that Tom competed in, seven Ryder Cup squads, and in 97 he was the team captain. Do you get a chance to kind of reflect on some of those memories that he had during his time and being a part of those teams?
Well, Tom will tell you, and he's told many people before, that his proudest moment was being the captain of the Ryder Cup in 1997 at Valderrama against Seve Ballesteros. You know, they did not win over there. They had some things go, some bad breaks. But Kite still thinks that's his, not one of the highlights of his career, which is saying a lot for a guy who's won the U.S. Open and won as many times as he has on tour.
And, of course, won the U.S. Open in 92 at Pebble Beach, of all the places to have won.
Yeah, in fact, he played, they had a Champions Tour event this year at Pebble Beach, the first Tee Classic in Pebble Beach, and Kite finished third there this year. He really plays well at Pebble Beach. That's why we were all kind of upset that he didn't get an exemption to play this year at the U.S. Open when it was at Pebble Beach. You know, he was really looking forward to playing over there, and he tried to qualify for it. He qualified in Denver and missed it by a stroke, and it was really something that hurt him this season, really hurt his heart, I know. But that is a place that really holds fond memories for Tom.
Well, Tom Kite, certainly a huge talent, so many fans right here in the great state of Texas. And Steve Habel, we certainly have enjoyed having you join us. And can you give us a sneak peek of what kind of, you know, articles do you have in Horns Illustrated coming up? And also, you also write on a golf website as well.
Yeah, in Horns Illustrated, we're focusing a feature on the play of the Browns, Curtis and Chikey Brown, two secondary members who will both probably play in the NFL, probably be early picks in the NFL along with Aaron Williams on the team right now. The website I write for golf is called cybergolf.com. It's one of my websites. Go there. It's a news and travel portal for golfers and people interested in the game, and it's very worthwhile.
Absolutely. We will go. Steve, thank you so much for joining us for a huge portion of our program. And who knows, maybe our paths will intersect with all the Campbell family up in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll see.
All right. I appreciate having me on again, Alyssa. Take care.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And of course, join us online at eradiosports.com. We will be right back.
The Big East Sports Show with Alyssa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big East regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big East Sports Show
with Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.